Do you ever wish you could ask your data anything at any time? How are sales this quarter? How is a specific marketing campaign performing? How is the overall health of the business? With Domo's AI and data products platform, you can. Domo lets your team channel AI and data quickly, securely, and innovatively to deliver measurable insights wherever and whenever you need them. Anyone on your team can use Domo to prepare, analyze, visualize, automate, and distribute data amplified by AI. Domo goes beyond productivity. It's designed to transform your processes and drive real growth, powered by trust, flexibility, and years of expertise in data and AI innovation. Data is hard. Domo is easy. Learn how Domo can help you make smarter moves faster at ai.domo.com. That's ai.domo.com.
This is Warbird Radio.
On this episode of Warbird Radio, we're talking about some interesting numbers. These come from the Spectator survey that was completed in 2023 by the International Council of Air Shows. Warbirds overall down 2.2 percentage points when asked, what were the main attractions for you at this air show? Since 2023, we don't have new data, but we do know that from 2018 to 2023, the data shows a downtrend. When it comes to Warbird static displays, 4.7 percentage points were dropped. But here's the interesting thing. With display aircraft like modern military, things that people can relate to, a massive increase, 15.5% up. RC aircraft, a sizable percentage point up. Here to hopefully make some sense of this data today, we'll be talking to two very incredible humans, John Cudahy, the president of the International Council of Air Shows, and Dr. Dick Daso, the former modern military curator for the Smithsonian, here with some encouraging news. But first, let's dive into the data with ICAST President John Cudahy. John, thanks for coming on Warbird Radio.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So what do you think this data means? We don't have new data, but we do have this data that captures sort of that COVID recovery period from 2018 to 2023. What do you think it's saying right now, in your opinion?
A couple of things. I think the important thing is the relative difference rather than the absolute movement in numbers. We saw in this particular 2023 survey quite a lot of numerical movement, but not much relative movement. At air shows, the big draw has always been and continues to be the military jet teams. And second behind that consistently has been the modern military. So that for those in the air show environment, that would be the single ship demos, principally flying displays of single ship aircraft. And Warbirds, as it has been for more than 40 years, is in a solid number three position. And that is that is also as it has been for many years. There is some movement in civilian aerobatics, and frankly, the movement is so dramatic that it makes me think it's an aberration, because the data from this particular survey has been very consistent over many years identifying civilian warbirds, flying warbirds principally, as a big draw. And I think that's what the warbird community should continue to note. There's nothing as interesting to airshow audiences other than modern military aircraft flying as warbirds. And I see it as a continued endorsement of warbird involvement in air shows and the value of some warbird involvement in every air show.
Specifically with the static display stuff, when you look at the average that's in these numbers here, we will try, with your permission, to make this one slide available here to our
sure.
listeners. From 2000 to 2016, there was an average number. Average, 32.4%. When it comes to warbird statics, that's what brought people through the gate. In 2023, that number reflects 25.2%. In 2018, just to give you some perspective, 29.9%. I've said it before that, you know, two's not a trend, but three numbers that go in that sequence certainly could denote it. When is the next, Spectator survey coming out so we can really see if this is something that is trending downward that needs to be corrected, because these stories matter. And I know this is important to you as well.
It is. Yeah. And this year is the year that we'll do that. We'll have a survey during the 2025 air show season, and we'll report on that at the end of the year at our 2025 convention. And I think by this point we will be past the COVID related complications of both the survey process, but also the attendance at air shows, and we'll be back into something more consistent and relatable as it relates to the past data. And frankly, we'll need to depend on the actual data. I think that's the whole reason we do it. But I would bet good money that Warbirds will continue to be right there as a relative third place as what people look for. And I'll note from this data, as you're referencing it, that we saw some other things take a dip. Military statics, always a big contemporary military statics, always a big draw, took a big drop in for 2023. And we don't really do much in the way of analysis of what caused that. It could be that warbird statics were not as plentiful during the 2023 air show season. Certainly, we know that contemporary military statics were not. That dropped quite a lot from an average of 41% of the people saying historically from 2000 to 2016 that was a main attraction for them. They had a drop of 10 points during that for the 2023. So there are some aberrations here, or what I hope are statistical blips. But as you said, and as I agree, that will be resolved, I think, during the 2025 survey.
Well, I'm hoping that, I love your optimism in this. You know, you see the numbers right now with the decline in the World War II veterans that are still alive. And the gut feeling is that as an air show announcer and talking to other colleagues in that same line of work, Rick Peterson and whatnot, there just seems to be that we are, and this is a gut, this is not, and the data seems to somewhat reflect this, but the gut is operators and museums have an opportunity here to really improve these numbers this year between now and the time that these data points are collected and processed. We know that tactile stuff works. We see exhibits that the CAF is running now with the WASP movie and the Tuskegee Airmen program. Those things have big lines. People love air conditioning at air shows. There's ways to do this. But the thing that I keep holding on to, what I'm excited about hearing from Dick Daso here in just a few moments, is the fact that the thing that warbird operators hate the most is the saving grace, perhaps, in all of this, and that is you have an airplane on static display. The first thing people do is they run up and they want to touch it. You know what I mean? They don't relate to it. And we see that in general in air shows, that this stuff it's just not really relatable to the American public because so few people have experienced flight. Any thoughts on that before we wrap this segment up?
Yeah, I think both touching and getting into when they can, whether it's contemporary transport planes or the B-17s, C-47s, and so forth that appear as static. People, as you suggest, I mean, most people's airplane experience now involves going down the jetway, going to row 17, seat F, and sitting in very cramped seats for an hour and a half ride to Dallas. And when they can be on the ramp and see the engines, contemporary or warbirds, and whether they physically touch it or they're in it and they experience it, it means something to them. I was at a air show conference just this past weekend, and that was a big topic of conversation, the unique ability that air shows have to put people into and around planes that they really don't get anywhere else if they're not in the aviation community somewhere.
How could folks get a hold of you, John, and give them the plug for the convention in the last 30 seconds here?
Yeah, so if you're looking to become involved in air shows or learn more about air shows, we can be found at www.airshows.aero, A-E-R-O, airshows.aero. And obviously our convention is the place for people involved in the air show industry. We just had it a month and a half ago in Vegas, and we're already planning this year's convention in the first full week of December in Las Vegas.
John Cudahy, the president of the International Council of Air Shows. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
All right, let's change gears now and bring in Dick Daso, Dr. Dick Daso, to be exact, retired Lieutenant Colonel from the United States Air Force, former curator at the Smithsonian for Modern Military Today. He's the executive director of the Air Force Historical Foundation. I wanted to bring you in, Dick, because you're speaking at the upcoming NWOC conference, the National Warbird Operators Conference. But you have some insights on this as to how to make these artifacts perhaps more relatable to people. We see in the data where stuff that they can relate to, like RC airplanes and modern military. This always gets people excited, and it's something that you're no stranger to. Welcome back to Warbird Radio.
Good to be here.
So what do you think on this? How do you make these things more exciting to people?
Well, there's a couple of things, Matt. If you're already excited about it, there's really nothing you can do to mess that up. I mean, if you want to go to an air show that's nearby, you're going to do that. You're going to enjoy it. I think the thing that running into now and having a bunch of grandkids now, I see a totally different generational look at how their parents, our kids, are taking them to things to get them excited. I mean, love going to museums, aquariums, you know, things of that nature. I've taken grandkids to airship, and they love it. They love it. They love the exciting crowds, the flying once they're there. And I think we've talked about in the past that there are many different ways that people learn or create memories. And a lot of times that's what this is about. It's about families creating memories in certain places, doing certain things. I think if you look at some of the research about how people memory works, you have different senses. And when you are able to combine more senses in a experience, you have a much better chance of remembering that favorably, especially if you're with your family. And I've always thought air shows are great. There's the sensory part, the visual part, the sound part, the smell of going into a C-130 that's on static display and sitting in those mesh seats and smelling that kind of petroleum kind of ramp smell. It always gives you more of a chance to deepen the memory, because a lot of kids are tactile memory people. I have a couple grandkids like that. They remember things a lot better if they can touch it and feel it. Coming from the museum world, that's where I started all this after I retired from service. Touching artifacts was a foul. You didn't lay your hands on a restored object for fear of damaging all the hard work or making it an unviable object. And it was hyper that way at the Smithsonian just because of the number of people that go see the objects. The other thing about static or the museum world with particularly planes, but is there are different crowds that go there. Sure, families go there, but sometimes they go for different things, largely educational reasons, to museums in downtown D.C., but around the country, it's all the same. It's an excursion for a day, and you're going to do things you're there to do while you're there. And for example, you get a completely different experience if you go to Kalamazoo and go to the Air Zoo. That's a kid's park. What are they going to remember? It's the things that they get to do, see, touch, whatever, versus going to the downtown Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, which is more of a formal experience, if you will.
That's exactly what you and I were talking about earlier. When I asked you to come on, I said, you know, the number one thing that Warbird operators hate at an air show is when the people touch the airplane, right? They run up to it. The first thing the kids do, and a lot of times the adults do, is they just have to touch it. They can't relate to this thing. And I love what you're saying about this, because this is deeper than just a misbehaved child or a parent that doesn't understand you know, what he's grabbing at and he shouldn't. It's something that goes deeper than this. It's almost an involuntary response is what you're saying.
Well, in a lot of ways it is. And it's a big consideration, particularly when you talk about the museum world. And we solve issues like that by getting objects that had been deaccessioned that still, they're still objects, but that people could actually get in and actually touch. The problem that you have when you have over 1 million people going through an exhibit in a year is the physical stuff. You get the oil off their hands and they're rubbing the paint, and it, after a while, it rubs that stuff off. I tell you, I know it's true. We had propellers that the paint was all rubbed off and stuff, and there was nothing you could really do. If you can reach it, you can touch it. So it's more of a consideration to how people actually react as people. And like I said, there's different ways of creating memory. Touch is a big one. Smell, I think smell is one of the biggest ones. If you remember your youth, I bet you everybody listening will say, I remember grandma making bread in the kitchen, and that helps you remember what her kitchen was like and what your grandma looked like and what you did on Sundays and that kind of thing. It's the same experience when you go to a museum, an air show, an experience where these kind of objects are involved. And I wish it were an easy answer, because it's not. You know, you've spent all this time creating this object in the warbird world. If you're taking it up to fly, all the hours you've spent in the museum world, you've created a great environment with a pristine object to tell a story that you're going to explain with labeling or whatever. And there is no easy answer to the physical interaction with the objects, except for that it can be a very strong memory creator.
Well, we have to look at this. I mean, with the numbers where they're at right now, we have a year as warbird operators and folks who are interested in preserving this history to make a difference in these numbers. And I don't think it's impossible. And I want to reiterate this. This is not an alarmist response. This is simply saying that there is data that goes as far back to an average from the year 2000 to 2016, where it was 32.4% of people attending aerial events that had an interest in warbirds, as compared to 2023, where it's down to 25.2%. Just to see the static display military, vintage military warbirds, if it's relatable, the number goes way up. Modern military, 15.5%. RC airplanes, they're way up. I mean, people are touching and seeing these things now in ways they've never been able to, because the stuff's so available today to kids and to adults alike. So people can relate to that. But as we see the World War II generation dying off, now the Vietnam generation dying off, these artifacts, they're ancient history. I mean, today we forget that World War II is, you know, people our age, we're thinking about World War I being a long time away. That's how they're thinking about World War II today. It's ancient history as these vets die off at alarming numbers post-COVID. So I think what you're bringing up is something that folks should really pay attention to. You're going to be speaking not only about this, but about some other really fascinating parts of your work at the National Warbird Operators Conference. It's coming up this week in Dallas, Texas. If you've not already registered, there's still time to get down there. What are you excited about going to Dallas, Dick?
Well, this is a different crowd for me. I haven't spent a lot of my adult career with warbird operators, so I know them. I know some of you because we've interacted over the years. But I think it's a great opportunity for me to get to meet a different crowd of people and to introduce not only what I used to do, and they'll hear about that at the Saturday luncheon, but also to talk to them about the Air Force Historical Foundation and how we really mix very well with this group. And we've never really done it actively or proactively, at least as long as I've been here. But it's going to give us a good opportunity to touch a new community that we really haven't reached out to before. And I hope we have some really good responses from not only the luncheon, but our personal talks while we're there for the 3-day conference.
Now, if you get to go, Dick might have something in store for you that I think you're really going to value and and look forward to using throughout the year. So I would encourage you now, if you've not already registered for the National Warbird Operators Conference, to go ahead and do so. The website will be quick linked in here. And if you want to join the Air Force Historical Foundation, what a great group. Tell us about the mission and what you do there at the foundation, Dick.
Well, it's a lot like what the Warbirds do. We're around to help preserve and distribute the collective histories of the United States Air Force and all of the preceding organizations. And now we're very active. This year, in fact, is all about introducing everybody to the Space Force and the history of the Space Forces. This is their fifth anniversary. They just had that on at the end of December last year. And our celebrations this year, including our big banquet and symposium on the 21st and 22nd of May, celebrate the fifth anniversary of the Space Force. And it's really fascinating. As the United States Air Force history goes back to the Army, Space Force history, of course, is born out of the Air Force. And even back to the Army period, we're talking about articles that have been written in our journal from the 1950s that talk about things that happened in the 1930s related to very early space thought and operation. Robert Goddard, for example, you know, those kind of things. So I think our missions are the same. We want to reach the largest group of people we can, get them interested in the history of the services, but more importantly is to get them to take that knowledge and let it shape the future of what they're going to do in their lives, whether it be in aviation, in the service, whatever they go on to do. There's lessons to be learned from this history that are far-reaching. And it's the same at an air show. Yeah. It's not just about the airplanes. It's about the pilots and the mechanics. And the stories, one of the stories I'll talk about is the Spirit of Tuskegee. And this steerman that Matt Quay restored and flew around at air shows for a couple of years. I'm sure most of you folks listening have seen this airplane, but not only did it have a remarkable World War II history, very significant, but it goes further than that. It brings that story to the air shows of the last 10 years, introduces the people on the ground to the Tuskegee Airmen in person. It's that interaction of the different multi-generational, and it may not be a perfectly pure object. It's, you know, it may not be exactly the way it flew in 1942, but it has a different life now. And it hangs in the National Museum of African American History and Culture. That tells a story for future generations.
Now, I hear where you're going with this.
Those are the kind of things that I think are important for everybody to keep in mind.
Right. And we talked about the difference between an object and an artifact. We'll get into that. We're splitting some hairs here, but there's a few rivet counters who are paying attention to your language. You'll get into that at the talk, and it's fascinating stuff. In full disclosure, I've been privileged enough to host the Air Force Historical Foundation podcast, and you have been kind enough to allow us to share it on Warbird Radio after it comes out. So if you're following along with that, on our feed here at Warbird Radio, hop on over to the Air Force Historical Foundation and sign up today, because they need your help. It's a wonderful, wonderful group. When you attend any of their events, a lot of currently serving active duty folks are still there at the highest level. I think the vice chief spoke at your last awards banquet. This is something that people
really... That's right. Generous Life was there.
They really pay attention
super
to this.
Super guy.
Yeah, but this is something that is recognized and is absolutely critical, even to the active duty folks today, because you got to know the past, and I'll let you finish that statement.
To shape the future.
There you go. Dick Daso, I'm looking forward to seeing you later this week down at NWOC. Thanks for being here today.
Yes, buddy. Good to talk to you again.
My thanks again to John Cudahy, the president of the International Council of Air Shows, for coming on and helping make sense of some of these numbers. And also to Dick Daso, the executive director and former curator of the Smithsonian, but the executive director today of the Air Force Historical Foundation, for providing some great suggestions for Warbird operators and museums. We got to make this stuff relatable. I'll be seeing you down at NWOC just a few days from now. If you've not already registered, again, The link to do so is quick linked in the show story. We'll see it in Dallas, Texas. Follow along here at Warbird Radio. Sign up for the newsletter. Brand new season underway now for 2025. Glad you're here. So long for now.